You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So we'll start off with the timeline of the writing and recording, because you've had a big year, kind of last year, having the release of the collab album with Daniel Lippi and working on your own solo album. How did the Parquet Courts album kind of tie in the timeline?
Well, Lippi's record was actually recorded years ago, almost 3 years ago. So, you know, when it came out, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember that thing. Yeah, we did that with Lippi. And I was writing the Thawing Dawn record at the same time that I was writing Wide Awake, but I recorded it for a few months before we recorded Wide Awake, which ultimately was a helpful thing in writing Wide Awake. But yeah, it's been a pretty eventful year for everybody in the band. But yeah, because I had that solo record and was touring on it, especially me.
Yeah, it sounds like you all had quite a busy year. When you first announced the album, the way you did it is you sent out some postcards to the fans advertising the URL, wideawake.am. Was this your idea, or was this influence from Rough Trade, or what?
The postcard was my idea, yeah. I guess I wanted to do something that was different from a typical, you know, press release. I thought about the wake-up call idea, thought, how annoying would this really be if everybody heard the first song, Wide Awake, as a wake-up call? It turns out people were pretty forgiving of it once they found out what was happening.
Something that I think we definitely should talk about is working with Danger Mouse on Wide Awake. How did this happen? Who came to who, and how did it come about?
Brian came to us and via an email, and just kind of stated that he was very interested in working with the band. And at that point, it was I think about a week before we were set to go down to record the record ourselves. And, you know, he said, you know, I'm really interested in working on a record with you. Would you be into doing one? And, you know, we said, well, we're about to go record this record that we've written next week. And he was like, well, I can't do that, but, you know, if you can postpone it, I'd love to work on it. And, you know, it's a pretty serious request, so it was obvious that he meant business. But yeah, I mean, at that point we said, you know, as soon as you can meet, and can we talk about it? And so we ended up hanging out with Brian a lot and talking about music and awesome. Listening to music. And, you know, as you would if you're about to work with a, you know, producer for the first time. This is Parquet Court's first time working with a, you know, producer. I guess, you know, Lippi being a different thing, that was kind of his record, but this is our thing. So inviting a producer in was a big decision, but ultimately it's one that I'm happy that we made.
Was it quite different working with someone from outside the band?
You know, it wasn't so different, really, and I think that was probably good for us and for Brian, I think. You know, I think he was probably looking for a different sort of situation than the way he normally works. You know, I think this record was different than the way he normally works. And you know, in a way, it wasn't too terribly different than making any other Parquet Courts record. The main difference being Brian's sort of, you know, very valuable input that he had as someone who is, you know, objective and outside the group. That was a thing that, you know, I'd say was very influential on the record.
Awesome. Let's get on to the singles. The first one, Almost Had to Start a Fight, In and Out of Patience. Is there any reason behind releasing this as the first single?
I'm sure there is. I think the idea was to sneak two songs in there so, you know, we could, you know, give everybody their money's worth.
So the song split into two acts. Is it two different stories? Is it two different instances?
Really, it's two different songs. I guess I should give Brian credit there in that, you know, we recorded the songs back to back, like, you know, it was one take. And so he was like, I really feel like these two songs should be one track. And so I guess regardless of, you know, how many tracks they occupy, to me it is two songs.
And on the video, there's like a whole lot of animation of some of your work. Did you do the animation, or did you get somebody else in on that to help out?
I did do all of the artwork, in fact, but I did not. I'm not an animator. No, that was someone from who works at Rough Trades art department that animated that, and it was really great to see that stuff kind of come to life like that.
And onto the second single, the title track of the album, it's kind of took a different direction. Kind of went quite funky. Is that the direction that the album is going to take?
I'd say it's a funky album because we're funky boys.
Did Danger Mouse have quite an influence on this track in particular? I've heard this is quite Danger Mouse-esque.
I would say, and I want to give Brian all the credit he's due, but I would say no, not at all. I mean, the record was completely written before we even really knew who Danger Mouse was. And and that song, that was a song that I wrote. I was with Sean and him and I. This was long before we had met Brian. Him and I got together, and I was like, we need to write a song. And, so I just started fooling around the bass, and I came up with or I guess that's the guitar line. Came with the bass line, then I came up with that guitar line. And originally, the lyrics were, just filler lyrics. They were, let's ride the snake. And that eventually became I'm Wide Awake. You know what? I should say that when I played that song to Brian, he did say, I don't think this song should be called Let's Ride the Snake. And so I guess, I can't say he had nothing to do with it because he is the one that was like, maybe anything but Let's Ride the Snake. And I was like, okay, how about I'm Wide Awake?
Something that I personally have been quite interested in is the merchandise that was released a while back, the scarves. Because did you do all the artwork for the merchandise?
Absolutely, yeah.
How did you choose scarves?
Well, I'm not the one weaving these scarves. Full disclosure, I'm not a weaver, but I wanted to do something that kind of went along with the theme of the song. So I thought about a football scarf, and I thought about, the World Cup coming up and how, when you watch World Cup games, like everybody, they've got their country's scarves and they're waving them for the camera, So I guess I was thinking of Parc et Corps as kind of like a sports club or something.
And when you're working on the art, does the music that you write, does it have any influence on the art and likewise to the music?
Of course. By the time I'm working on art for a record, the album is done and I'm listening to it a lot. And I associate music with vision and color. So, it's just at that point, just kind of a matter of me re-immersing myself into the music so that I can, I can get the vision for the art.
Is there any crossover between the writing and the art that do you ever find it difficult to kind of work both together while you're touring?
No, because they're so linked for me. I experience sound visually and vice versa. The way that Parc et Corps, the way that my life is set up, the way we tour, it's just kind of a nice rhythm to where I can be out on the road for a couple of weeks and then get really inspired to go back into my studio and come up with something visual.
And in the past, you've talked about how art movements have had influence on your ideas in Parc et Corps. Is that the case on this recent album, on the new one?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess I'd call out some specific ones in Total Football. I mean, there's Cobras thrown out on there, Dada's on there, Ava Hesse, Cy Twombly. I name names this time.
I listened to the album for the first time today. I got the link, and there are sections of it that remind me of some of the older works, as well as sections that are completely new. Are you revisiting any ideas from previous albums?
Well, at when it's all said and done, when Parc et Corps decides to quit, I think we're going to have a lot of records that are very different from one another, and each one's going to be very unique. But at the end of the day, you're going to be able to say, but still, it all sounds like Parc et Corps, right?
Mm, yeah.
So there's always going to be something that's essentially us, no matter how different we make it.
Are you on tour at the moment?
No, I'm here at home. I'm in New York.
Are there any New York bands out there that you think are definitely worth checking out?
Fuck yeah, man. Check out Bodega. Check out Private Practice. Check out Future Punks. You know, there's a great scene happening here right now. Kaleidoscope. I'm not even sure if they're still together anymore, but definitely check out Kaleidoscope, Heaven's Gate, PC Worship.
You did some work with PC Worship in the past, eh?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I put out their record on my label, Dull Tools, and also we did a band together called PCPC. Check out B-Boys. They just had a record come out on Capture Tracks. You know what you should play on this show is you should play New Zealand's best band, Opposite Sex. And you should play Supermarket or O'Ivy or Tasman's Puke. They got a new record coming through on Dull Tools, too, I should say. I can't say when, but just people in New Zealand should know it's happening.
You mentioned B-Boys. You helped work on that album that they brought out last year, right?
No, I mean, I can't really say I helped with it. You know, I didn't play anything on it or do any artwork or release it. At the time, Britton from B-Boys was my roommate. He's the guitar player. So maybe I helped in some sort of, like, you know, inspiration. Now the drummer is my roommate, Andy. I've lived with two B-Boys in the past.
And I just want to finish it off, just because I'm curious. Are there any other albums coming out this year that you're quite excited for?
I was really excited to hear that Drinks have another album coming out, which, you know, Kate LeBon, got to give a shout, one of my favorite songwriters going at the moment. You know what, man? Pill, the best live band in New York, Pill, P-I-L-L, and they have a record coming out on Dull Tools, not to, like, you know, egregiously self-promote here, but we got the Dull Tools tapes coming out in April, which is the two cassettes that Dull Tools has released by Pill, and on LP for the first time.
Awesome.
And so I'm really excited about that, and they got a record coming out on Mexican Summer that they just recorded. I've heard it. It's amazing. I'm definitely excited about the new Pill LP and the reissue of the Dull Tools tapes.
Well, thanks for taking the time out of your day to have a chat with me, Andrew.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.